It won't happen again, she said, but I saw her shiver as she said it. I grunted skeptically, staring down at her. Molly wasn't ready. Not for something like we were about to do. She had too much confidence and not nearly enough sound judgment. It was frustrating. By the time I had been her age, I had finished my apprenticeship in private investigation and was opening my own business, and I had been living under the doom of Damocles for the better part of a decade. Of course, I had an experience advantage on Molly. I had made my first dark compact with my old master, Justin de Morne, when I was 10 or 11, though I hadn't known what I was getting into at the time. I'd made a second one with the Lenanshi when I was 16, and I'd wound up under round-the-clock observation from the paranoid warden Morgan. It had been a brief lifetime for me at that point, but absolutely chock-full of lessons in the school of hard knocks. I had made plenty of dumb decisions of my own by then, and somehow managed to survive them. But I also hadn't been dallying around in situations as hot as this one was. A troll under a bridge or an upset spirit or two was as bad as it got. It had prepared me for what I faced today. Molly was facing it cold. She'd been burned once before, but it had taken me more than one attempt to learn that lesson. She might not survive her next test. She looked up at me and asked, "What?" "We need to move," I said. "I met the Ebes while you three were playing with the Ikukukachu." I scrunched up my nose, trying to remember the name of the creature, and couldn't. "With the Ik," I said. "And they were charming, in an entirely amoral, murderous sort of way. Thomas was right. They'll be after me, looking for an opening. We're going."
"Where?"
"St. Mary's," I said. "The Red Court can't walk on holy ground, and Susan knows I've used it as a fallback position before. She and Martin can catch up to me there, and I've got to get some rest." She rose, nodding.
"Okay. Okay, I'll get you a change of clothes, all right?"
"Call a cab first," I said, "and pack the Tylenol, and some of Mouse's food."
"Right. Okay."
I leaned on my crutches and stayed standing while she bustled around the room. I didn't want to risk sitting down again. The Tylenol had taken the worst edge off the pain, and my thoughts, though tired and sluggish, seemed to be firmly connected to my body again. I didn't want to risk relaxing into lassitude. "Say that 5 times fast, I murmured and tried. It was something to do that I couldn't screw up too badly. A while later, Mouse made a woofing sound from the top of the stairs outside, and Molly plodded up them wearily.
"Cab's here, Harry," she called.
I got myself moving. Stairs on crutches isn't fun, but I'd done it before. I took my time, moving slowly and steadily.
"Look out!"
she yelled. A bottle smashed against the top interior wall of the stairwell, and its contents splashed all over the place, fire spreading over them as they did. Ye old Molotov cocktail, still a formidable weapon, even after a century of use. There's more to one of those things than simple burning fuel. Fire that hot sucks the oxygen out of the air around it, especially when it has a nice, dank stairway to use as a chimney. And you needn't get splattered by the spilling fuel to get burned. When a fire is hot enough, it'll burn exposed flesh from inches or feet away, turning the atmosphere around it into an oven. I was only on the second or third step up from the bottom, but I staggered back before anything could get roasted. Been there, done that, not going back. I tried to fall onto my uninjured side, figuring that it deserved a chance to join in the fun, too. I landed more or less the way I wanted to, and it hurt like hell, but at least I didn't faint. I screamed, though, a number of vitriolic curses, as fire roared above me, leaping from my little stairwell to the rest of the house, chewing into the old wood like a hungry, living thing.
"Harry!"
Molly called from somewhere beyond the flames.
"Harry!"
Mouse let out a heart-sick-sounding bay, and I saw fire beginning to climb the sides of the house. The fire was starting from the outside. By the time it started setting off fire alarms, it would be too late to escape. At this time of night, somewhere up above me, Mrs. Spunklecreef was asleep and unaware of the danger. And on the second floor, my elderly neighbors, the Willoughbys, would be in similar straits, and all because they were unlucky enough to live in the same building as me. I dropped one of my crutches up on the stairs, and one end had caught on fire. There was no way I was pulling much in the way of magic out of my hat, not until I'd had food and some rest. Hell's bells. For that matter, I didn't know if I could stand up on my own. But if I didn't do something, three innocent people, plus myself, were going to die in a fire. "Come on, Harry," I said. "You aren't half crippled. You're half competent." The fire roared higher, and I didn't believe myself for a second. But I put my hands on the ground and began heaving myself upright. "Do or die, Dresden," I told myself fiercely, and firmly ignored the fear pounding in my chest. "Do or die." The dying really did seem a lot more likely.